County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for tonight's special episode of TCCP is none other than Hampshire County Cricket Club rising star, Tom Prest. So Tom, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast tonight. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Been good. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. It's been a pretty relaxing day. I've had the week off, so yeah, just had a little stroll down the beach this afternoon. But yeah, that's been about it.
Lucky for some, eh? Strolling down the beach. For those who don't know, I'm from Warwickshire in the West Midlands. We're landlocked, so I can't exactly, you know, just decide on a day out, well, I'm going to go down to the beach. We don't have one here. I think our nearest one is 81 miles away, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah, a bit of a car journey, that, but we have to make do with woodland and, you know, these nice agricultural walks. I'm not complaining at all. It's a beautiful county, but we are missing a beach. So just something for anyone wanting to visit Shakespeare's County, just be aware of that. But Tom, before we get into today's conversation, which will revolve heavily around your time at Hampshire so far, as well as that incredible Under-19 World Cup, I just have to ask, in terms of the reaction to that tournament, what has life been like for you since coming back from the Caribbean? What's the reaction been like amongst your peers, amongst your family, your friends? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool, to be honest. I didn't really think going away at the start of January that it would kind of get as much attention as it did. It's kind of all over social media, and obviously a lot of the games were broadcast on Sky as well. So yeah, a lot of people got involved with watching and kind of got so many messages before and after games. A lot of pictures of myself and my family when they got on TV as well, got sent to us. But yeah, it's been amazing, really. Coming back home to reality, it's been obviously quite a lot colder than it is in Antigua, but no, it's been nice to kind of see everyone and thank them for their support.
Well, that is absolutely phenomenal to hear, Tom. It really is. And of course, I know I'm not alone in saying this, but well done for that tournament. Absolutely superb. England's leading run scorer. I thought you led the side brilliantly. And what an incredible tournament it was for the Three Lions and a Crown. Our first final since 1998. And in a winter of discontent, where we had lost the men's Ashes 4-0, we lost the women's Ashes. That tournament, I think that's why there was such a fanfare surrounding it. We'd had such a horrid time down under in Australia that all of a sudden we had this almost beacon of hope in the Caribbean. So yeah, honestly, you should be immensely proud of yourselves, each and every single one of you. And yeah, long may it continue. Wishing you all the very best of luck heading into your county career. And talking of county cricket then, Tom, because that is what the majority of tonight's episode will centre around. What are your first ever memories of county cricket, or just cricket in general? Where did the Tom Prest cricketing journey originate in the first place?
I think it's the 2005 Ashes. For me, really, watching Kevin Peterson is probably kind of the first player that I remember ever watching, kind of, yeah, I guess being really inspired by. That my dad's always been massive, just always loved cricket. So yeah, he's kind of got me into it from an early age. We've always kind of played in the back garden or down the beach, on the road, kind of wherever we can, really. So yeah, I guess from watching TV, my first memory is, yeah, that 2005 Ashes. But yeah, just, I remember mum and dad telling me that even I was only 2 years old, I'd sit down, watch I think it was Channel 4, Channel 5 highlights that were on every night. So yeah, we've still got the box set of the 2005 Ash as well. So occasionally watched it in lockdown a couple of years ago. So that got us through.
Elite box set, might I just add. Yeah. That really is a staple in county cricket. Yeah. You have to have a copy of 2005 Ashes, the complete series. Absolutely superb choice of viewing. It's funny you mention that because on this podcast, Tom, I'm actually older than you. I'm 20 and I can't say that I watched the 2005 Ashes live. I got into England cricket in 2009 with the Great Escape in Cardiff, but quite clearly from a very, very young age, cricket was the go-to sport. And in terms of that series, I have to ask, in hindsight, if you could relive one of those games, fair enough, maybe at an older age where you're going to remember it a bit more, which of those games in that iconic series would you choose to relive and why?
I think that game at Edgbaston, so we won by two runs, with the Kasparovic strangled down the leg side, dubiously given out. But yeah, I think, yeah, if I, it's similar to watching that kind of Ben Stokes innings at Headingley, really, something that will probably stay with me for the rest of my life. But yeah, I wish I was probably a little bit older to enjoy that moment. But yeah, and watching, as I said earlier, Kevin Peterson kind of hooking Brett Lee off his nose. I think that was at the Oval when did he get 150 odd?
Yeah.
Can't remember if that was the Oval or Edgbaston, but yeah, kind of that innings as well. That's a pretty cool one to watch.
Most certainly was. Iconic series. We could go through every single test match in that series and pick out a moment from Lords to the Oval. Lords, you had McGrath getting his 500th test wicket. Edgbaston says exactly what it was on the tin. A two-run victory, the tightest winning margin in Ashes history. Bear in mind, we've been playing for the Ashes since 1882 and a game has never got closer than that. So that was outstanding. You had Trent Bridge with Gary Pratt running out Ricky Ponting and Ponting going off Duncan Fletcher on the balcony. That was hilarious. Old Trafford as well. The ball from Simon Jones to Michael Clark. The reverse swing onto his off stump. Champagne cricket. And then, of course, the Oval. You mentioned that 150 from KP. At the other end of that partnership was Ashley Giles, the King of Spain from Warwickshire. No one seems to remember him, but I think he got 50 in that game, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very underrated Ashes knock, but what an incredible series. And Tom, actually, this is going to be a tough question. If you could, again, compare the two series, 2005 and 2019, which one would you say was better? That's a tough question. But again, which one would you prefer to relive?
I think 2005 has to be. Especially because it's kind of the first thing I really remember of cricket. That was a pretty unbelievable series. It'll have to be 2005 for me, I think.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. It's a great series. It's a series which will live on for the rest of eternity, to be honest, in cricketing history. Just had so many incredible moments. 2019, obviously Ben Stokes at Headingley. The 135 to out Leachy at the other end as well, with his glasses polishing him off. One out from 19 balls. Was iconic, but the 2005 Ashes just had everything you wanted in a cricket series. So, yeah, to be honest.
With the whole country was behind them as well, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Everyone was watching that open top bus parade as well through London. It's pretty iconic as well. So, yeah, I think definitely 2005 Ashes.
Yeah, fair enough. I think a lot of people would say that, to be honest, Tom. And obviously in that series, so many iconic names. Flintoff, Peterson. You had the likes of McGrath, Ponting, Clark on the Aussie team as well. In those most formative years, did you have any icons, idols, role models that you tried to emulate in those early years, per se? Was there maybe one or two cricketers who you tried to model your game off of in those early years?
I always, as I said, I love watching Peterson bat. He's kind of the first player to... Well, first English player to really kind of take the attack to the bowlers, from what I can remember, really. So, yeah, seeing him switch it as well, that's something that's pretty incredible. I don't really think I've modelled my technique on anyone, really. I've just kind of tried to bat, but I guess more recent, obviously Joe Root's temperament is pretty high class. You can't really go too far past that. Kind of Williamson as well. I was trying to get a runnable, pretty solid techniques, great defences. So, yeah, I think, yeah, the attacking flair of Peterson, but the defence and temperament of probably a Williamson or Root, I guess.
Well, to be honest, three excellent choices there. Kevin Peterson, yeah. The maverick, the trailblazer, in a cricketing sense, as you said, could single-handedly dismantle any bowling attack in world cricket. Yeah. It was absolutely outstanding. And then in terms of the modern game, two excellent influences there as well. Joe Root, England's second all-time leading test run scorer. Kane Williamson as well, who's up there for New Zealand. I'll tell you what, if you can model your game off of those players to even a certain degree, you're going to go far in this game. Let me just tell you that. Three extraordinarily gifted cricketers in their own separate ways. Obviously, very different techniques, Kevin Peterson, compared to the latter two. But in terms of the county circuit then, Tom, what would you say was your first kind of journey into county cricket? Because before Hampshire, you actually played for Dorset, if I'm not mistaken. What were your first kind of impressions and memories of playing cricket for the Southern County?
So, yeah, I had my first kind of club game when I was six years old, playing for the under-9s, or maybe under-10s team. I remember my dad saying it was an indoor game, and he just kind of plonked me in the middle of the centre, and kind of, I looked a bit lost. But yeah, I don't remember, I was a bit young, but yeah, that's kind of what he said was my first game. Then playing for Dorset, dad kind of held me back from the county setup for a couple of years because he just wanted me to enjoy my cricket whilst I was young and not take it all too seriously too soon. So there was an opportunity to play a year up for Dorset and when I was 9 or so, but I didn't take it and just played in my own age group and had a South Dorset game against East Dorset and my first game for that got 77 and then I was run out, unfortunately. And then went straight into that Dorset under-10s team after that, having been to none of the winter training. They called us up and asked if we wanted to play and then went down to Exeter School in Devon and got 72 not out on my debut for them. And that's kind of my first proper games for Dorset. And then, stayed with them until under-14s, under-15s and then went fully over to Hampshire. So, yeah, they've kind of been a big part of my cricketing journey, even though they're not obviously a first-class county, but had quite a lot of training with them growing up. And, the likes of Scott Curry as well from a couple of years older than me. We were both in the Dorset EPP together when we were, I think I was 13, 14 and he was 15, 16. So, yeah, they can produce some good talent, which is good to see. So, yeah, it's been a pretty cool journey going from Dorset and then across to Hampshire.
Most certainly has. And to be honest, I'm glad that you articulated it in that manner, to be fair. Clearly, it's had quite a large influence in your cricketing journey so far. And it's funny you mentioned those first games, 77 and 72. So that is your real first venture into the game of cricket. That's 65 runs more than my best ever score of 12 not out. And that is still ongoing.
I'm hoping you're a bowler.
Oh, goodness me. If I was a batter doing that, my goodness, I would be in a lot of trouble. Yeah, bat number 10. I should actually have prefaced that by saying definite tail ender. A lot of those came off the edge. But goodness me, that is very, very impressive in terms of those real formative playing days that you're getting big scores like that. What about your first century, Tom? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was... It took me a while to get it. I think it was under-12s. Dorset against Berkshire. It was 100 on the dot and I was out next ball. I was a bit too pleased I'd got to the three figures and then gave it away. But my first 100, I think it was 12 or so. So, yeah.
First 100 at 12. I'm here at 20. Oh, not even a tenth of the way there. We'll get there one day. Skip. Put me up the batting order. But no, that is a fantastic journey into the game of cricket. It really is. And again, it just goes to show the importance of the national counties, the likes of Dorset, yeah, the likes of Berkshire, Shropshire, Staffs, Cumbria, loads. There's loads that we could give shout outs to, but the national counties just offer that first taste of what professional cricket could be, and quite clearly have had quite a profound influence on your game, Tom. And in terms of those early years at Dorset then, in the national counties, we move on to Hampshire, one of the 18 first-class counties, one of the biggest ones as well. You play at the Rose Bowl with those phenomenal facilities as well. You've got the Hilton on site, you've got the golf course nearby, you've got the nursery ground as well. What were your first impressions of Hampshire County Cricket Club? What did you make of the club itself and the people involved in the organisation?
It's pretty amazing, really. I remember going the first time. First time I went there was to, I'd probably been to watch some games, but the first time kind of playing or trialing there, I was on the net in the nursery ground, like in the middle. So it was the first ever net I've had that was on the middle of a pitch. So that was pretty cool in itself. But yeah, to kind of look around and see the first team pitch, it's pretty unbelievable. And yeah, those facilities for the academy and for the second team as well on that nursery ground. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, the academy play in the Southern Prem on a Saturday and play all their games at the nursery ground. So yeah, it's a pretty cool way into kind of the setup. And yeah, obviously the indoor facilities are incredible as well. So yeah, I know we've said earlier that it can get freezing cold in there, but it's definitely, can't really complain with the facilities that we've got. It's pretty unbelievable.
They are indeed some of the best in the country, to be honest, at Hampshire. We actually had an Iron Donald on a few episodes back, and he just said, as soon as he got to the club, you could just tell there's this aura of real brilliance and excellence at Hampshire because of those facilities. They really are trying to build the best cricketers possible. And I have to ask, actually, in that similar vein of questioning, how would you say the difference in standard hit you, Tom? Did it hit you quite hard? Did you find the transition quite easy? Because there is a big difference between minor or national county cricket and, of course, a first-class county. Did you adapt quite well to it, or did that take some time, per se?
So it was under 15s where I kind of first went over to Hampshire. The standard of of training kind of goes up quite a bit, even though it's still obviously a county age group side, but with having, they've had those facilities for a while. They kind of, I don't want to sound like I'm bad-mouthing Dorset or anything. Got a lot of kind of respect and gratitude towards them. But yeah, it's obviously it's a higher standard at Hampshire. So yeah, it was great. I went straight into captain of the side, which was pretty cool, under 15s. I'd never captained Dorset, but yeah, went over to Hampshire and they wanted me as captain for that side. So yeah, I think I got zero in my first game, which wasn't great against Middlesex, but then played Surrey the weekend after and I got 100. So it wasn't all bad.
That's ridiculous. And again, that is a perfect kind of analogy for the game of cricket. You think a duck in the previous game, all of a sudden a century the next. That is the unpredictable nature of the cricketing beast. And Tom, you mentioned there about the age group system at Hampshire. I also wanted to touch a little bit upon the second 11, because there's one story in particular I'd love to get some more insight into. And you know what's coming, don't you? That triple century. You knew it was coming. I could see on your face. Against Sussex, 303. For those who don't know the story of this and the background in terms of the A-level exam as well, could you give us some greater insight into that monumental occasion?
Yeah, so it was obviously the COVID year was made exams a little bit different. It wasn't just one exam at the end of the year. It was, kind of a few kind of continued assessments. And we were having a week of tests at school. And there was also that 4-dayer that was going on at the nursery ground. So I emailed, I had a geography exam that afternoon of, I think it was, must have been day one. So I emailed my teachers and asked if I could come in early and do it and get off to the ground as well so I could do both. I had to get in, I think it was 7:30. I took the exam until what, 9 o'clock or so. Got to the ground just in time, just after the toss, and in time for the start of play. And then, ended up somehow getting 303.
Well, if you could just kind of recall the innings itself, was there anything you did differently on that day, apart from obviously the A-level exam? Who knows? Actually, that might be something for the future, doing an exam before going out into the middle. But was there anything in terms of your game, in terms of the feel of bat on ball that was different on that day, or was it just another day at the proverbial office?
I'd say it's one of those days where it's pretty cliche, but it all just kind of came together nicely. It was obviously a lovely pitch on the nursery ground, so the ball wasn't doing too much. But I just remember I just wanted to keep batting and batting for as long as I could and didn't kind of change tempo after I got to 50, 100 or whatever. Just kind of kept the same tempo through the whole innings until the ball I was out where I tracked Archie Lennon and he got me stumped. I think that was it really. I was just content with just batting for a day and a half really. So it's something that I've not done before. I haven't actually done it since either, but hopefully we'll do it sometime again.
Fingers crossed. As I said, maybe the superstitious amongst you in the Hampshire faithful get Tom sitting a geography exam before he goes out to
bat. I don't know if I can put myself through that again.
Goodness me, I did geography as well. They were tough, weren't they? Lots of writing to do.
Yeah, so much. So many essays.
Yep. But it's worth it in the end. Did you pass your A-levels?
I did, yeah. Got a B in that one, actually.
Oh, well done.
Pretty pleased.
Fair play. Especially considering you probably had other things on your mind on that day as well. That's incredibly impressive. And to give this some more context, more background, you're actually the first player in Hampshire's history to score a triple century in the second 11 championship. So well done, Tom. In fact, I'm just putting these little pieces of the jigsaw together. 77, 72, century at 12, first ever player in Hampshire's history to score a triple century in the second 11 championship. The makings of brilliance. It's all beginning to come together now as to why you've become such a complete cricketer. And in terms of that first 11 step up then, because we've mentioned about age group cricket, national county cricket for Dorset, the second 11 there. What about the first 11 and your experiences as a professional player for Hampshire County Cricket Club? How have you kind of adapted to the challenges, the pressures of being a Hampshire County Cricket Club batsman?
Yeah, it was a pretty unbelievable day making my debut last summer at Taunton in a T20. I didn't really go to plan. I got one off six and we lost the game. But just to kind of play and have that first kind of taste of first team experience with, I think, Vince, I was batting three. Vince got out and Darcy Short was opening with him. So I ended up, and then Colin de Grandon was coming in at four. So I somehow managed to end up in between all those names. Which is pretty surreal, really, sharing a dressing room with them. But yeah, it was amazing, really. Something at the start of the summer, was kind of just hoping to do well in the second team and get a rookie contract at the end of it. But yeah, to debut in all three formats was not something that I was probably expecting to do all last summer. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Obviously, the standard is, that's another pretty big step up from second team cricket. It just comes with experience, really, hopefully, and getting a bit more. Had a couple of good performances in that first team environment, but yeah, hopefully getting a bit more consistent with that. Playing some more red ball as well would be good for my next step.
That will come with time, though. Again, you just got to be patient with that. It's all part and parcel of the learning process. At this point in your career, Tom, it's literally about learning as much as you can, listening to others, getting that advice, putting in those little bits and pieces in terms of improving technique, improving your mental fortitude as well. It'll all come together. Trust me, it really will. It's quite a nice part of your career to be at, to be honest, at this stage. Yeah. But you mentioned there Colin de Grandon. And for those who are long-term listeners of the podcast, I mention this moment quite often when he saved, the Birmingham Bears, as we're known in the T20, but Warwickshire in the 2017 T20 Blast quarter final against Surrey at the Oval. What is the big man like?
I didn't know he played for Wiltshire, actually. Something, learn something new every day. But no, he was amazing for us as a side. Kind of instilled a lot of confidence in us. We had a pretty tough run to the start of that competition. And then when he came, me and him actually debuted in a T20 on the same day at Somerset. Although we didn't win, he got 60 odd off not many balls at all. Kind of turned over a new kind of chapter really in our season. He would just go out from ball one and try and give it a whack, more often than not, he would come off. So, yeah, just instilled a lot of confidence and kind of, it was pretty inspiring to kind of watch from the other end and share a dressing room with.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that, to be honest. And Tom, actually, you mentioned there about your debut. Obviously, I'm guessing a tremendously special occasion, walking out onto that field, representing your boyhood county. It does not get any better than that. But aside from that debut, was there any other moment in the 2021 county season which really stands out to you as an individual highlight? Were there any particular moments, any particular knocks, any particular, you know, highlights in the season that really stand out to you from a personal perspective in 2021?
Yeah, I think it's my third game against Gloucester in the Blast. I got 59, not out. I struggled in the first two games. I obviously got one in my first game and 20 off 24 without hitting a boundary against Surrey in a T20, which wasn't great. To get that score kind of gave me a bit more confidence that I kind of can perform at that level. So, yeah, but I think my favourite memory, one of my favourite memories ever playing cricket, was that quarterfinal against Notts at Trent Bridge. Where we got 122, 123 or something like that. And yeah, we won it by two runs. So, and yeah, they were 60 for one off their power play. Somehow we managed to bowl them out, which is pretty unbelievable. So yeah, it's probably my couple of highlights.
Yeah, some good highlights in there. Clearly a memorable first season in county cricket. And that quarterfinal, I mean, all of the T20 Blast quarterfinals in 2021 were incredibly high standard, but that one at Trent Bridge, it just had everything. It was just so drama filled, chaotic. There was so much unpredictability as that game went through the ebbs and flows. And Brad Wheel, a former podcast guest, actually providing the goods when his team needed him the most at the death. It was just a brilliant advert for the T20 Blast. Yeah. And that performance at Trent Bridge got you through to finals day, which must have been pretty surreal in your first season in county cricket, Tom, because some players have never even reached it. So what was that like? You know, going out onto that field at Edgbaston, the hallowed turf, the fortress, whatever you want to call it. But what was that like, you know, in terms of, again, the occasion, the moment itself? How would you describe your experiences at finals day 2021?
Yeah, it was incredible. Ken, at the start of the season, thought I would have got nowhere near finals day. To be a part, I've never even been to watch one as a fan at the ground. I've only ever watched them from TV. So, yeah, for my first experience of it live, to actually be on the pitch playing was, pretty incredible. I got a first ball duck and we didn't win. But, yeah, just I fielded in front of the Hollies for the majority of the 20 overs. Even though we were the first game, was probably fielding there about 11:30, 12 o'clock. It was still pretty lively in that stand. So, yeah, that was an unbelievable experience. I won't forget that for a long time. But, to even play in a finals day, it was just unbelievable, really.
I imagine it was, to be honest. And it's funny you say that you hadn't been to a finals day before, actually, Tom, because this year was my first one. I'd missed out in 2017 because obviously there was massive demand when Warwickshire win it in 2017. Mm. We played Glamorgan and lost to Notts in the final. But I was there for the first time in 2021, and actually a little bit of a story from what was the Motorpoint Stand. I think it's now been renamed the West Stand at Edgbaston. I was there with a good friend of mine called Harry. And you came out to bat, and in what was yet again another example of the cricket connoisseur's commentary curse. I said, Harry, just keep an eye on this guy. He's quite special, this lad. And then, as you said, Golden Duck. Was it Josh Davey?
Yeah, just knit one back through the gate.
And you can imagine...
See you later.
I was gutted.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, apologies for that, Tom. That's why I didn't tweet during the Under-19 World Cup until your innings were finished. But no, it was a great day, that. Obviously, Kent winning and lifting the trophy for the first time since 2007. Mm. And actually, in that game, you did take two catches. Do you remember who you actually dismissed?
I think it was Tom Banton was the first one. Ben Green, second one. Yeah. Deep mid-wicket and long on, wasn't it?
There you go. Yeah, spot on. Are you a bit of a badger, Tom?
Yeah, I remember a lot of stuff like that. I tried to play it off there like I didn't know who it was, but I knew who the two were.
I was expecting that, to be honest, when you can remember your century from the age of 12. No, fair play. There's nothing wrong with being a cricket badger. Let me just tell you that right now. And one final question, I suppose, about 2021, Tom, before we talk about the 2022 Under-19 World Cup, your experiences in the Caribbean. What would you say was the biggest lesson that you learned from your debut season in county cricket?
Good question. I think it's just about consistency for me, really. It kind of got that one score in my third game in the Blast, and then kind of didn't really do much else after that. So I guess kind of thinking not getting too high when you're doing well, but then also kind of when things aren't going your way and you're in a bit of a rut of form, and just to try and stick to what you do best and just believe that there's another score just around the corner. That's probably my experience. Was there was some unbelievable highs, really, that, like I just said, those couple of innings. But yeah, obviously struggled in the Royal London, which was kind of a competition that I wanted to kind of really do well in. So it's probably that, really, just to try and keep striving to get better and put in consistent performances.
Well, it's all you can do at the end of the day, in particular when you're batting. And I know you're more of an all-rounder, Tom. You got the off breaks as well. But yeah, in the game of professional cricket, when it comes to the bat in hand, in particular when you've had some dry patches, shall we say, it does get very, very difficult to get out of that rut. But again, it comes with time. You do get to understand these things. It comes with experience. And again, it's just, we go back onto that continuous theme, I suppose, of maintaining that level-headedness, the assuredness, the confidence in your own ability, the self-belief, and you'll get out of it. All of the good cricketers do, you know, it's a matter of time. And the good thing about cricket, which is excellent, in particular in red ball cricket, you've always got another chance. It's not as though it's the last chance saloon. It's not as though you've got one opportunity and that's it. Your career's gone. You've got plenty of learning experiences. You've got plenty of times where you'll hit big scores. Other times you won't, but that's the nature of the cricketing beast. And that is why we love it. It's the unpredictability of the game, isn't it?
Yeah. So cricket's the best leveler. That's what my dad always says.
It is indeed, yeah. A very popular phrase, has to be said, in the cricketing community, that cricket is the great leveler, and Test cricket is another one, which I believe was from Harsha Bogle in Death of a Gentleman. He said cricket is a fantastic metaphor for life, and it's very, very true. You know, you're going to have these really, really fantastic moments, some tough moments. It's all about the character and how you get up from those defeats, how you bounce back and just plod along. And that's why it's such a good game. We could be talking about this for hours, Tom, to be honest. It is it's a great game. Best sport ever invented, in my terribly unbiased opinion, as the co-host of the County Cricket Podcast. But yeah, honestly, it's just brilliant. I could wax lyrical about cricket all day long, as you can probably tell. But aside from county cricket, Tom, we do, of course, have to talk about the 2022 ICC Under-19 Cricket World Cup. And before we talk about the specific performances in terms of how England did, your experiences in the Caribbean itself, when did you first get the call up? Can you remember the exact moment when, you know, you found out you're going to be representing England and actually captaining them in that tournament?
I can't remember the date, but I remember I was just sitting in the living room watching some TV. I saw David Graham and he was starting to ring me. So I thought then it's either going to be good news or real bad news. So yeah, luckily it was, yeah, that I was on the plane and going to be captain. So yeah, I couldn't quite believe it, but yeah, kind of captaining your country at a World Cup is, yeah, something you kind of always dream of doing, really. So yeah, that was when I got told.
Interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. And yeah, I can imagine there was equal levels of excitement and dread when you got that phone call, because obviously you didn't know at the time you'd been selected, and obviously captaining, as you said, a tremendous, tremendous honour and a privilege to captain England, the Three Lions and a crown in an ICC major tournament. Does not get better than that at such a young age. And in terms of the tournament itself, this actually might be a tough question because there's quite a few you could choose from, but what would you say from that tournament was your individual highlight, Tom? Was there one particular knock or moment which stands out above all else?
I think the moment when we beat Afghanistan in the semi-final, for me, that was, yeah, I can't really describe the feeling of, yeah, kind of knowing you're going to play in a World Cup final. Something that me and Jacob Bethel, your Warwickshire boy, we chatted a lot about kind of prior to the game, and kind of thinking, was sitting on the bus and kind of thinking about it and both just getting goosebumps. It's a pretty surreal feeling for when you actually are definitely in a World Cup final. And for me, that win against Afghanistan, especially where it got so tight at the end as well, to come out on top in that game was definitely my highlight.
No surprises there whatsoever, to be completely honest with that choice. That just sent Twitter into absolute overload with that final over. And I'm glad you've actually brought this up, because this gives me a fantastic excuse to talk about your captaincy. And one moment in particular was that penultimate over, the 46th over, which you gave to Rehan Ahmed. And as soon as I saw that, I was massively impressed, because I'm a spin bowler myself and I love it when young spinners have the backing of a captain. It's so, so important for their development and in terms of, you know, I suppose changing the perspective of how spinners are utilised. We usually think of them in the middle overs, just, you know, kind of applying the pressure, taking the odd wicket. But to trust Rehan at the death, Tom, I thought was an absolute stroke of genius. And there was a lot of pressure on that, because if he would have gone for a lot of runs, again, the questions would have been asked, I'm guessing, at some point. What was the thought process behind bowling Rehan in that over? I would absolutely love to know that.
As you know, he loves cricket and he's always asking me to have a bowl. He's always kind of looking in my direction, warming his shoulders up. It'll be the first to tell you as well, I didn't actually bowl that well prior to that over in that game. He was struggling to land it like he normally does. He's the kind of guy that I feel I could rely on pretty well in a pressure situation. As soon as we knew it was getting that tight, and there was one lad who was on 30 odd, and I think they might have both been kind of in, but they were close near the tail. Thought if we could just get one to start that over, and then obviously you've seen his googly before. If he can land just a couple of them to the tail, then we're in with a real shout of, kind of turning that game on its head, really. So, yeah, luckily he started to land them well, and he pretty much won us that game, really, in the end.
Well, it was a fantastic display of bowling, and again, a really, really proactive piece of captaincy, which, as you can tell, I was a massive fan of as a spin bowler. And Rehan, you know, I remember going on the Leicestershire County Cricket Club. They have a podcast, right? Talking Foxes is what it's called. I went on that in 2021. Would have been around about August time, because that's when the Royal London One Day Cup was happening. And on that podcast, I think it was episode 7 of their podcast, I mentioned about Rehan Ahmed's googly. And I'll always revert back to that, because I've been such a big fan of his game and his approach as a leg spin bowler ever since seeing him at Edgbaston against Warwickshire. He took the wicket of Robbie Yates in that game, if I'm not mistaken. He's so, so impressive. And that googly is just a difference maker. You know, we do see a lot of good young bowlers, but not all of them have a potent X factor in the same way that Rehan does, and he can bat as well. So definitely someone to watch out for heading into the future. And actually, Tom, in terms of your captaincy, again, going back onto that theme, how did you actually approach captaincy in terms of field placements, in terms of bowling rotations? How would you describe your style? Would you say you were quite aggressive, proactive? Were you conservative at times? How would you describe your approach to the art of cricket captaincy?
I think it's, you've got to try and know the right times when you have to be proactive and when you have to, yeah, kind of be a bit more conservative, as you say. I don't really know how I captain. I try and just stay as calm as I can, really, under pressure. Kind of try and think what I wouldn't want if I was the batsman. But yeah, I think, yeah, in that final, shouldn't have taken myself out of slip to Rehan when left-hander Nick won the ball after I'd taken myself out of slip. So yeah, I guess, but that's a great bit of learning for myself and the side. So you've kind of never really been in pressure situations like that of a World Cup final. And yeah, when you're, it's always tough when you're defending a pretty low score on a decent pitch that isn't really offering the bowl as much laterally. So just tried to be aggressive when we needed to be, and be a bit more conservative when that was what we needed. I think I just waffled a bit there for that answer, but yeah, I don't really know.
No, I understood what you're getting at. It's all about being dynamic and being flexible and versatile. So that's in terms of your captaincy approach. Now, I understood exactly what you're on about. In certain times and certain occasions of the game, you have to up the ante, you have to put the opposition on the back foot. And at other times when the momentum might be starting to shift onto the opposition, you just have to tone things down slightly and try to wrestle back control of the game. And I'd like to know this actually, Tom. Do you have anyone in the professional game? Because you mentioned Kane Williamson earlier, who you try to model your captaincy off of, because that piece of bowling with Rehan Ahmed, I said it on the podcast actually, was very Owen Morgan-esque. And I'd like to know if there was any influence from Morgs.
Yeah, I think I said it in an interview a week or so before that Afghanistan game about Morgan's captaincy kind of being a little bit different bowling Rashid at the end of some T20s or 50-over games. I've seen him do it and be successful with it. Especially at the tail, when they're probably not going to pick a googly as good as top order players, then to kind of know that Morgan's done that with Rashid in international cricket, that hopefully it'll have the same effect in under-19s as well. But yeah, probably Morgan, Williamson and James Vince at Hampshire as well, played under him a bit, and he's a pretty calm customer out in the middle when things are kind of getting heated. Kind of saw that in that Nottinghamshire game really for the first time when defending 120 and he managed to change the bowlers around and win us that game. So yeah, just kind of those calm captains. Not really like Virat Kohli, who's just going to be shouting around all the time. But yeah, just try and stay as calm as possible. I think that's the best way to do it.
It's certainly one of the best ways to do it. When you look at Captain Cool, MS Dhoni as well, brilliant leader. Because if you can almost convey that sense of calmness and assuredness, it's a massive morale boost to the rest of the team because you're someone that the team can rally around. So that's a really important lesson for any young captains to learn. Whether you are a more aggressive one like a Virat Kohli or a Ricky Ponting as well, the exact same thing can apply. You just have to be the standout player who people can rally around and, you know, get that extra motivation by watching and seeing how they apply themselves in a pressurized situation. And Tom, in hindsight, actually, aside from the final, which I imagine was disappointing, but the boys did incredibly well to even reach that, as I said, first final since 1998. And let's be honest, that side went on to do pretty good things. A lot of the players there, lots of county careers, and Graham Swan obviously going on to produce the goods for England in many a test match. How would you describe your experiences in the Caribbean in this year's World Cup?
It was my first time in the Caribbean. Just played at St. Kitts and in Antigua. Pitches were pretty good. So yeah, from kind of that cricket kind of side of things, to play in different conditions and like some pretty nice weather to play in as well. That's, yeah, it was a great experience. And yeah, to kind of see ourselves against the best players in the world from our age group and kind of see how we compare to them. Yeah, it was pretty cool, really. I didn't really know what I was expecting going into it, but I think, yeah, like I said earlier, the social media and the actual broadcasting of the whole event was unreal. The amount of interviews and press conferences I had to do as well was obviously something I've never really done before as well. So got a lot out of that side of things as well as the cricket. So, and yeah, to do it with, we're quite a close-knit side by the end of it as well. So we'd had a series against the West Indies last summer and then been to Sri Lanka just before Christmas. So yeah, to do it with a group of guys that kind of all get on, it was a pretty special month away.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned those series, because on our Twitter, we actually covered both of those. And that's what I think made, you know, the World Cup performances that bit more special. The fact that we'd gone from seeing Jacob Bethel, he was tearing it up, wasn't he, in the summer. Yeah. My goodness, Jacob Bethel, when he scored that ton, he went from like 40. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I think my internet might have actually cut out on the day or went out for a little bit. Came back in a flash. There we go. Three figures. All right, Jacob. Just one of those ridiculously talented young cricketer. But to see that journey, that progression, we knew there was something special about that unit. But to take that India side, who are ridiculously strong. Yash Dhawn, for example, the captain, has gone on to score a debut century in the Ranji Trophy for Delhi in his first ever
innings.
He scored
in both innings, didn't it?
Yeah.
He scored 102nd innings as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty good player.
Pretty good player. Raj Barrow as well, who completely destroyed us in the final, again, has gone on to secure an IPL contract. So absolutely no issues in terms of losing the final to that team. That India side were ridiculously strong, but that Afghanistan game, the dispatching of South Africa as well, which Jacob obviously played a massive part in, 88 for 42 balls. And of course, the group stage, going and beating the defending champions, Bangladesh. In hindsight, it's definitely a campaign which we as a cricketing nation can be incredibly proud of. And the fact that so many counties were represented as well, had the likes of yourself, Tom, from Hampshire, Jacob from Warwickshire, James Sales from Northants. You had James Coles in the squad from Sussex. You had Alex Horton from Glam. The three Lanks boys, George Bell, Josh Boyd and Tom Aspinwall. James Roo from Somerset alongside George Thomas. It was like, it was such a fantastic amalgamation of county cricket. And you did a really damn good job of it as well. So fair play. That's all I'll say. And definitely a tournament which will live long in the memory of English cricket fans for many, many years to come. And just one final thing, actually, from that tournament, Tom. In retrospect, let me just read out some stats for the listeners out there. So you were the third leading run scorer in the entire tournament with 292 runs at 58.4. I also noticed the strike rate, 102.45. That was the highest amongst the top five run scorers. So well done. That's another little accolade. You also took five wickets with an economy rate of 3.77 runs and over. In hindsight, Tom, if you could rate yourself out of 10 in terms of those on-field performances, what would you give yourself?
In the group stage, probably pretty high. Don't feel I could have done much more in that. But yeah, in the knockout stages, didn't do as well as I'd wanted to. Especially in the final, getting a duck in the final obviously wasn't great. But yeah, I mean, yeah, to come out with, yeah, as the third leading run scorer, that was pretty cool. I don't really know what, I'd probably say a 7 out of 10, I reckon. I'd like a few more wickets as well.
Don't we all, though? Don't we all, you know? It's always another string to your bow, but I'll tell you what, Tom. If I was going to say it, I'd probably go with an 8. I'd add an extra one for the captaincy and that piece of brilliance with Rehan, but a really, really strong tournament, definitely one which you can utilise as a springboard heading into the future. And again, I'm going to keep on sounding like a broken record, but honestly, that bunch of lads, watch out for them. Not just in county cricket, international cricket beyond as well. goodness me, we have got some seriously, seriously talented cricketers in our under 19 setup at the moment. So, Tom, we're almost at the end of today's podcast, your debut podcast as well. That's another string that we can add to our bow in the future when you're playing for England. But heading into 2022, the remainder of the year, obviously it's not that far away, but we are almost on the eve of the start of the 2022 County Championship. What are your aspirations and ambitions with Hampshire from both an individual and a club perspective heading into the rest of this season?
I think from a club perspective, winning the championship is what's probably every county's aim. But yeah, I think we got so close last year, just losing out to Lancashire. The Bears won at the end, didn't they? But that game up in Liverpool, we got so close to winning that and, yeah, being county champions. So, yeah, as a club, that's kind of what we're striving for. And then for myself, kind of getting into that side regularly and putting in consistent performances. So, and hopefully find a regular first team spot in all formats, really.
Well, Tom, it goes without saying, but myself and everyone here at the County Cricket Podcast, wishing both yourself and Hampshire all the very best of luck heading into this season.
Thank you.
You mentioned the championship. Hampshire last won in 1973, so it's been a bit of a wait, but at the same time, it's only a matter of time, isn't it, when you think about it? Anyone can win the championship, and I think Warwickshire were a testament to that in 2021. I don't think many people outside of the county itself would have seen us lifting the trophy come the 24th of September, but that's the beauty of county cricket. You know, you've got a 1 in 10 chance this summer of achieving greatness, achieving immortality. So you just got to go in with that positive mentality, get some wins under the belt, and who knows, anything can happen.
Yeah,
it's a very, very funny game indeed, but definitely 2022. If you aren't already planning on going to a county game, listeners, please do. Get yourself down to Hampshire, Warwickshire, Northants, Derbyshire, Sussex, wherever. Honestly, the standard of county cricket this summer, I think, is going to be absolutely fantastic across all three formats. But Tom, that pretty much brings us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. Just before we say our final goodbyes for the recording, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
Unfortunately not. Well, my Instagram, TomPress24. I think that's about it.
Well, there we go, folks. If you want to go and follow Tom on Instagram, we'll leave the link to that in the podcast description below. Please feel free to go and follow him at your discretion, of course. But that is pretty much it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for tonight's episode. Just one final thing, Tom. Thanks again for coming onto the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're always welcome back on. And of course, we'll be tracking the progression of both yourself and Hampshire over the course of this season. And I imagine many, many more years to come as well. I don't think we've heard the last of the name Tom Press by any stretch of the imagination. But that is it from us two here at TCCP for tonight's recording. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.